Game on.
Power and
feels like we lost it.
Turn your mic on. Your mic on.
Is the pastor's mic on? Is it on now?
Yeah, I think so. No?
We can hear you.
I should ask that. Hey.
It was a yellow light, now it's a green light.
Now it's a green light. Well, I'm glad we're all in a good mood to worship God today. Before we get to our announcements, I want us to greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Hear me now. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary. You will join me in the announcements. The trustees meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30. All trustees.
Should we read these with
you? No. But you can join. You can join me by listening.
No.
And the next one is no nominations committee meeting on Wednesday night. Sign up for the next week for the Advent study of Christmas is not your birthday. You have the insert in your bulletin that was handed out. It tells you about it. You don't have that. You're absolutely right. I've got all my paperwork confused. And it won't be the first time. Should I tell them who I am now? Yeah, skip over that. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. Forgive me. Let's get back to it.
I'll punish the choir later.
Okay, also show your gratitude for gifts to the lay staff. We have now through December the 7th to do that. Please take the opportunity to give a love offering for them for their fine service that they have rendered the church throughout the year. Planning for the progressive dinner. We're going to have a progressive dinner and a candlelight gathering on New Year's Eve here at the church. The flyers, that it's this one this time, is in the bulletins to give you the information. We will start, we need you to fill out and return the tear-off tab at the bottom that lets us know you're going to participate. How many of you are familiar with progressive dinners? You know what we're talking about. Okay, so we're covered on the majority of the people. It's fun. We used to do them here, and we will end up back here at the church to bring in the new year with the candlelight service. The best New Year's time I've ever had. is here praising God and on our knees to bring in the new service. New year, excuse me. So plan to participate in that. And do not forget the annual Thanksgiving dinner is Sunday, November the 23rd. The turkey, the mashed potatoes, the gravy is being furnished at no cost to the church. It has been donated. Volunteers are needed to take a turkey to cook, carve, and return to the church the morning of the dinner. There are aluminum pans in the kitchen if you need them. There are 14 pounds. We have about 10, and we need 10 volunteers to take them, cook them, carve them, and return them. Turkeys are already available for pickup. They're in the kitchen in the freezer, and there's a sign-up sheet there when you take one, so we'll know who has them, so we can come after you. Sounded like it's not here, but sounded right. Get out your favorite turkey recipe and bring it, and let us enjoy what you do to the turkey. Okay. Prayer cards are in our pews. Please take time to fill those out. They will be prayed for with the prayer warriors on Monday night. Salty service. There's no signature, nothing needed on here. Just if you've done a good deed for somebody outside the church during the week, you've shown Christ's love throughout the week in some service, take one of these and lay it in the offering plate. So we'll have we account for those to the conference, to the United Methodist Conference, all churches. So please take time to drop that in the offering plate if you have shown God's love in some way this week. Likewise, the attendance pads are in the black folders in front of you. If you would please fill them out so we can have a record of your attendance this morning. Is there any further announcements that need to be made? Eddie? Thank you. Any other announcements? Children's ministry is Monday night. What time? 6 o'clock. Okay, thank you. Saturday. Starting at 9:00, 8:00. Okay. There is a work day here at the church Saturday starting at 8:00. Also, your hands would be welcome, because we have things that need to be done. Also, newsletter and calendars are out in both of the exits. Please take time to get those. People prayerfully consider it and put things into the newsletter. We'd like for you to take the opportunity to read what's going on here at Calvary and likewise to learn more about people here at Calvary. So please take the time to pick those up. If you will, join me now in the opening words, the Litany to All Saints. It is an inserted bulletin here, and it'll be on the screen. For all the saints who have gone before us,
God, we give thanks for our ancestors in the faith.
For all the saints who have been beloved to us,
God, we give thanks for our loved ones who have passed on.
For all the saints who have left us too soon,
God, we mourn their passing, and they remain in our hearts.
For all the saints who have exemplified the faithful life,
God, may learn from the way to you.
On this day, we name all those who are in our hearts. Let us take time to speak those aloud.
Patrick Coleman, Jason Hayden.
Jesse Stone, Bertram Stone, Rufus Moyers, Emily Moyers, Harry Brown, Daniel Jones,
for all the saints, God, we give thanks to you.
On earth, in heaven, we are one. We are your children. We thank you for those who have gone before us. May we forgive those for whom we did not have an opportunity to forgive. May we know that we are forgiven for our sins. May we know that we are loved by the same God from life into eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, who lives eternally. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn to number 364 in your hymnal, we'll sing Because He Lives.
come forward. Okay. Now, I bet both of you got dressed up for Halloween. What did you dress up as? You were a Power Ranger. Okay. And what about you, Bradley? The Rocket Raccoon? I've not heard of him. He's what? From Guardians of the Galaxy. Rocket Raccoon. Is he an action figure? Okay. Now, he's a raccoon that's good with gadgets. That's a pretty special raccoon. Now, I want you to tell me some names of other action figures that either your friends came out to Halloween as, or just action figures you know about. What are some action figures you know about? Besides the Power Rangers, what are the turtles? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Captain America, Spider-Man, Iron Man, the Hulk, Black Cat, okay. What else?
Superman.
Batman. Yeah. Those are action figures. And I've got something to tell you today. You are an action figure. Did you know that? You are an action figure for God. You can be an action figure every single day because God loves you so much and thinks so highly of you that God wants you to be his messenger in the world. And you can do that because you are God's creature. God created you and loved you, and you can be an action figure for God. Today is All Saints Day, and we're remembering some of the people who have lived and gone before us and how important they were to us. We are the saints that are here today. All of us are saints, and all of us can be action figures for God. And I want you to remember that. God thinks so much of you that he sends you to work for him, and you can go and be his disciple in the world. And that makes you an action figure. That's how it is. We thank you, God, that you have called each one of us to be your action figure, your saints in this world. We are so grateful for the gifts that you give us, that we give ourselves freely and readily to your service. All that we are and all that we have comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now take it again. Before we take our offering this morning, I wanted to let you know that November is Stewardship Emphasis Month, and you're going to be hearing from several lay people as to why they give to the church. And this morning, we're going to hear from Ron Coleman. He's going to share with us why he gives.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Robinson. In hearing that children's message there, and in keeping with the theme of giving, I would also like to be an action figure. Wouldn't you? You know, so I'm not going to belay this, so I'm going to take a couple minutes just to talk about giving. And it starts with everything that we possess comes from the Lord, undoubtedly, right? And that's a paraphrase from James 1st chapter 47th verse. We know that without God giving to us, we would be woefully unable to give back to him, or to give to each other, for that matter. And I'd like you to know this, too. And this comes straight from the scripture. From 1 John 3:17, it says, "But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother or sister in need, and chooses, or closes rather, his heart against his brother or his sister, how does the love of God abide in him or her?" Think about that scripture as you go forth today. 1 John 3:17. I give because it benefits not just me. It benefits those to whom I give, especially to the church. there is a huge benefit. It's an untold benefit. It's an unimaginable benefit because of my simple giving. I'd rather be an action figure and give than be inattentive to the needs of my brothers and sisters. I give because there is an increase in the intimacy that I have with God.
Mm.
And that increase is not simply because I give. God expects us to give. He expects me, rather, to give. And when I do that, it reinforces that thing inside of me that says, I am doing what God wants me to do. And that is plain and simple. And then finally, I'll end with this. Besides that increase in intimacy with God, this just says it all, and you know it quite well, all of you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the edict that I derive from that is this. If God loved the world that much, that he gave his only begotten Son, how does my giving even remotely compare to that? Amen?
Amen. Thank you. The ushers, please come forward for our tithes and offerings. I'll tell them about that. Let us pray. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine, O Lord, a trust, O God, from thee. Amen. Thank you.
Talk about giving. These people are great.
I'm doing everything that I can to prevent a coughing fit. So I actually wondered if one of the ushers could bring me a small glass of water. That would be really helpful. Thank you. What Betty Kuhn was reminding me to do was to let you all know of the, if you haven't heard already, of the passing of Edna Jones. Passed away, a longtime member of this congregation. And services for her are going to be held on Tuesday afternoon at Hartage Giddens. I believe that's the name of the funeral home. Did I say that right? Hartage Giddens, across the street. A viewing from 1 to 2, and the services from starting at 2, the funeral service starting at 2. And, of course, everyone is invited to come and celebrate her life among us. And if you would turn to page 7 in your hymn books. At the bottom is the invitation. Thank you. Thank you, I appreciate it. And then on page 8, you'll find the confession and pardon of our sins. And I like us to experience this. We don't do this every week, but at least on Communion Sunday, before we come to the Lord's table, we should take a look inside ourselves. And so that when we come to the table, we come with the attitude that God has given us everything, and we are giving ourselves back to God. And so please join me now. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their filigree broad and their fringes long. They love to have a place of honor at the banquet and best seats in the synagogue and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brethren.
And call no one your Father on earth, for you have one Father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructor, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be servant. All who exalt themselves to be humble, and all who are humble themselves will be exalted. This is the words of our Lord and God, and for the people of God.
That was a really beautiful anthem by the choir. I appreciate them so much. They do a wonderful job every single week. I can say something else. I try to say it as much as I can. Okay, I didn't do it right. That's okay. It's all right. There's a funny story about a man who went to a camping store to find all the right equipment that he needed to go on a camping trip, a two-week trip. The salesman was an expert on everything that he needed to buy. He needed tents, he needed maps, he needed shoes and socks, hiking shoes, waterproof clothing, cooking utensils, water purifier, sleeping bag, and finally, the backpack itself. And so the man paid for everything and then carefully packed everything into the backpack, filled up his backpack, and then struggled to put the backpack on before he left the store. And he got it up there on his back, and he asked the salesman, he said, "Where do you like to go camping?" And the man shrugged and said, "He had a bad back, and he'd like to go to the beach instead." What was it that Jesus said in the scripture? Do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. Now, I want to say this with great apologies to all the teachers in our congregation, all the teachers in my family, and teachers everywhere, because there's this old adage, as you recall, those who can do and those who can't teach. And it's not really true, is it, about most teachers? It takes a very special person to be a teacher. But we laugh at that joke anyway. And in many ways, the problem of do as I say, not as I do, isn't quite as bad as we sometimes make it out to be. Because, for example, lots of coaches of sports teams are much too old and out of shape to do the things that they teach their players to do. But they still successfully coach a team. My great-granddaddy was able to coach my uncles on the running of the family farm long after he was no longer physically able to do the work himself. So we're not talking about that. But the problem Jesus is referring to matters a lot. It's not a matter of age. It's not a matter of physical limitation. It's a matter of hypocrisy and duplicity. The problem with the scribes and the Pharisees is that in their teaching, they imply that they are good examples of the principles they teach, when in fact, they are anything but good examples. And like the salesman in the camping store, the scribes and Pharisees loaded everybody with heavy burdens, backpacks full of things they insisted the people needed for their spiritual journey through life. They had come up with 613 commandments and the interpretation of those commandments that they said must be obeyed. And yet they themselves found loopholes, ways around the very rules that they made. Not only that, but Jesus says it was all for show. a false front to make themselves look good. Phylacteries were leather boxes that were filled with passages of scripture, tiny, tiny scraps of paper with scripture written on them. And they were tied across the forehead. The phylacteries were tied across the forehead to obey the command to keep God's word ever before you. And that's how they did it. They put it there. It is said that some of them were so large that they couldn't see where they were walking. And they had to move them to the side. The fringes that were mentioned in Scripture are tassels on the prayer shawls and were traditionally small and discreet. Whereas the religious people that Jesus was talking about made them large and showy. It was, you might say, religious bling. And these same folks wanted to walk the equivalent of the biblical red carpet and to sit in the big chair at the head of the table at all the community banquets. Jesus is taking on this issue, the love of place and preference among the servants of God. Now, we're all smart enough to know that he's not talking about all the scribes. He's not talking about all the Pharisees, just some. But because this text was written by the church, for the church, it's not just about the scribes and Pharisees either. It's about us. It's about here and now. Now, as a person who wears a variety of colorful stoles on Sunday and who gets to sit practically anywhere she wants, I could probably sit up there and they wouldn't say a word to me. Or sing. Oh boy, not today. My reaction is, I resemble that remark. My goodness. So is this about me and folks like me that Jesus is talking about? What was Jesus getting at in saying this? And what is Matthew trying to say in telling about it years later? This is about what the professor Fred Craddock says is the love of place and presence among the servants of God. It's not about attire. It's about attitude. It's not about titles. It's about a sense of entitlement. It's not only about the ordained, but it's also about the ordinary folk whom God chooses for leadership, who then begin to think that they must have been extraordinary for God to have chosen them. And it can happen to the best of us. It can happen to any one of us. We start thinking of ourselves, as Paul would say, better than we ought to think. This text is a call for all religious leaders to walk the talk, to do our humble best, to live our lives in harmony with the things we ask of others. There is a story about Gandhi that shows the standard that we should all live up to. And this is a story that says we should never ask people to do things that we are not willing to do ourselves. A mother came to Gandhi and asked him to have a talk with her son, whom she said was addicted to sugar. And Gandhi thought for a moment and asked her to come back the next week. When she did, he put her off. And then for another week, he put her off again. And then for another week, he put her off again. And finally she said, "Why do you keep putting me off?" And Gandhi hung his head and said, "I had no idea how hard it would be for me to give up sugar." People who make themselves great will be humbled, and people who humble themselves will become great. There is only one who is great, and he loved us so much that he sent his son to live among us and show us the way. His son went to his death to show us the depth of his love. And death could not hold him and will not hold us either. Here and now, today, we walk in newness of life with God's help. We do nothing without his help, because all things are possible with him who strengthens me. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me in your hymnals to page 9, we prepare for the Lord's table. And don't worry, I'm going to sterilize my hands before I touch anything. We'll do that. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away, and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On that night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power,
and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The table has been prepared. The Lord invites all of you who held back, for we are all invited to come to his table to receive his gifts. Will you come as the usher directs you?
Thank you.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Forever.
I apologize to you for my inability to communicate very well today, but I hope you take the meaning of the message and, you know, be suspicious of anyone, even me, if I ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself, because we all are in the same boat from God. We are all invited to be a part of God's kingdom. None of us is better than the other or any worse than the other. We all come to the Lord with the same thing, ourselves. And we give ourselves to Him every single day of our lives. And I pray that you will go now in His mercy, grace, and peace of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And until we meet again, go in His peace.